Our next guest is a music producer and composer. He's won 2 Emmys and composed for commercials, movies, and TV. He's also a philanthropist who runs a foundation to help women and girls around the world. And he's just written a new book, Life is What You Make It, where he modifies the old cliche, writing, "I've had to learn to make the best of a good situation." That may be because his father is one of the richest men in the world. Peter Buffett, son of Warren, joined us from New York.
There are so many assumptions that come with who my father is. And the key one is probably this idea of privilege, you know, an easy life, money. But the support, the privilege really comes from having two parents that said and believed that I could do anything, and my siblings as well. You know, they really, really hammered home this idea that find what you love, you can do it, and we will support you. But that support didn't come in the form of a check. That support came in the form of love and nurturing and respect for us, finding our way, falling down, figuring out how to get up ourselves. So it starts to paint a very different picture than I think what people usually assume.
Now, your father rather famously lives in the house that you grew up in.
That's right. I go home when I visit in Omaha and I sleep in my bedroom. And he also,
and
by
you
the
are
way,
in your 50s, I should say.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. But he also drives himself to work every day to the same parking space, the same office building he's gone to since, I think, 1964. This is a guy that basically loves what he does so much that he's got a very well-worn groove of doing the same thing for a very long time.
To describe what it was like to be a child in that house, I think it will sound like a very familiar story to most middle-class people.
Yeah, and certainly of that time, I lived 2 blocks from where my mother grew up. So I would walk to my grandparents' house. The door was always open. I went to the same high school that both my grandfathers went to and had the same English teacher my mother had. And our house didn't have a fence around it or anything. It was just in a typical neighborhood in Omaha. So it was very classic upbringing in that regard.
Well, another thing this your story turns on, though, is something extraordinary. And that is that your father very publicly has said that you and your brother and sister will not inherit his wealth. Can you talk to us about exactly what you didn't get in the way of wealth? You did get a small inheritance.
Sure. It's funny how many people think, gee, aren't you angry about that? Or that seems unfair? Or what a jerk? Or, you know, whatever. But, you know, I honestly feel that it is an act of love to say, I believe in you as my child and you don't need my help. And that doesn't mean he doesn't give me advice or support in those sorts of ways. However, when you talked about the inheritance, my grandfather left all of us grandchildren a farm, and my dad can't stand the misallocation of capital. And so he sold the farm and put it into Berkshire Hathaway stock. So when I was 19, I did get $90,000, you know, which is definitely a head start. There's no question. At the same time, people are probably pretty amazed that that was it. I didn't expect any more. I never got any more. I couldn't borrow money from my dad. I had to figure out what to do with that $90,000. So I decided that for me, I really wanted to buy time. Music was my thing for sure. I wanted to take that chance. My dad said, go for it. So I was able at that time to buy a little bit of recording equipment, start writing music for various things, and it turned into, you know, a wonderful career. Now, I also mentioned that had I not spent a dime, that $90,000 would be worth more than $70 million today. And that's another interesting conundrum. A lot of people think, gee, don't you wish you had the money? No way. You know, I'm much happier having a life.
Can you seriously say that you have no regrets?
No regrets. I guarantee it, because it would have been his success. I would have been sitting there thinking, who am I other than living off the money of someone else's success? And I can say it because I've gone through some pretty difficult personal situations. You know, I've had double mortgages on my house. I've had to raise money for a show. But I learned more in those times about myself and my resiliency than I ever would have if I just had a pile of money and I could have glided through life.
From your point of view, though, when you were, say, getting that second mortgage, has there never been a twinge of this is harder than it has to be?
Yeah, I would say that's true. I went to him once in my 20s and wanted to do something essentially beyond my means. And I think it was at that point that I may have asked him, if he would help. And he said no, and he was absolutely right. It was very hard at the time, for sure. But he was not doing it from, I'm not going to help my kid. He was doing it from, this is going to help my kid more. And I believe that, and I know that to be true after the fact.
So your father has made it very clear, and you've known for a long time that you're not going to inherit vast wealth. But right. In fact, he has given you and your sister and brother a large sum of money, each of you, in a different form, and that is money to be spent on good works.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and, you know, we knew that he would always give his money back to society, essentially. We didn't know he would do it when he was still alive, and we didn't know we would be recipients of some of that. So to suddenly, in 2006, be told you are going to get a pledge of $1 billion for a foundation was extraordinary. And that's to each of us individually. It was an extraordinary thing.
That's a big job.
Yeah, it's a big job. And he didn't really ask, which is kind of funny. He said, here, I'm going to do this. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is an awesome responsibility and opportunity. It's been very exciting to see what's happened.
And so the sorts of help that you focused on has been investing in undervalued assets, as your father might put it.
Right. Exactly. You know, my wife and I spent a couple of years really listening and learning a lot about philanthropy and how to be most effective, frankly. And it was a page out of my dad's book. I mean, he invests in undervalued assets and waits for the market to notice that and catch up. And then he reaps the benefit. And we found that young girls, adolescent girls in the developing world in particular, are the greatest undervalued asset we've ever seen. If you support the girl, you support the family, you support the community, and it just ripples out all over the world, frankly.
Peter Buffett, it was a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you. Wonderful to be here.
Musician and philanthropist Peter Buffett is the son of the Oracle of Omaha. He offers his own advice in his new book, Life is What You Make It. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montagne.